in your maleness. You have it in your psyche. You have it in your heart. You are fatherhood, the ability to teach, the ability to coach, the ability to train, to lead, and to be led. All of that is so very important. And it's important because we're in a series right now called Home Improvement. And men play such a vital role in the home. And we're so grateful for men who are in the home and who understand that role. If you don't understand that role, or maybe you've lost your way a little bit, I want to help you with that today. I want to speak to you today because I think it's important for every house to have a man, for every house to have someone who is leading. And I say all that knowing that that is not the reality in every house. I can't preach to the exception to the rule every single Sunday. I want to teach to what is supposed to be and the way God designed it to be. And I want to talk to the man of the house today. Man of the house today. Because I believe that there are two addresses that ought to be the most important addresses in your life. If you use Google Maps or Waze or some sort of a navigation on your phone, you probably have your home address. It's there. It's titled home. That means wherever you are in the country, however far deep into the woods you may be, you can open up that map and you can click the home destination, and that map will begin navigating you back home. You probably don't use it for your daily drive. You probably do not use it for your, you know, just commute from work to home, unless perhaps you're working in Atlanta. Then maybe you're looking for the best route, or maybe getting around an accident or something. But the two most important addresses in your life is the home that you return to every day and the house that you worship in every week. Got to have those two addresses established in your life. The place you return to every day and the house you worship in each week. Your house, the home that you live in, needs a man. It needs a man. It needs a leader. It needs a man who is capable, a man who is willing, a man who is apt to teach, and a man who is willing to be taught. But let me say also that your church needs men. We're talking about your house and our house in this series. We're talking about improvement everywhere, improvement in your home and improvement in our spiritual home. How can we be better than we've ever been before? How can we stand taller than we've ever stood before? Your house needs a man. Your church needs a man. So let me read today from Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, beginning at verse 23. The Bible said that Jesus called them over and responded with an illustration. How can Satan cast out Satan? Verse 24, a kingdom divided by civil war will collapse. Similarly, a family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is divided and fights against himself, how can he stand? He would never survive. Let me illustrate this further. Who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger. Someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. So I'm talking today about this strong man because, again, when you read this setting of Scripture, and we'll work our way through it a little bit so that it's clear to you and you understand exactly what Jesus is saying. I promise you it's not incoherent ramblings. He's really making a point. And when he was teaching It wasn't a church service like this often, where he had a captive audience for the next 20 or 25 minutes. He was speaking very quickly. It was just in the passing through and in the passing by, or just a crowd that gathered in a marketplace, and they would come around and Jesus would try to impart some things and tell them some things. He would only have just a few moments to make an impact, and this is one of those situations. And they've been debating Jesus' authority, and they've been arguing whether or not he has the ability to do all that he is doing. And so Jesus begins asking them questions, because these people are accusing him of being full of demons. And so Jesus begins asking them questions. You think because I'm casting out demons, then I must be filled with demons. And he's saying that's a conflict of interest. It doesn't work. That would mean that the enemy is fighting himself and he's gaining nothing. That is same versus same. And then he goes for the larger principle to make sure that they understand, because anytime we start talking about demons or the kingdom of hell or the kingdom of darkness, we tune out, because we think, well, that's not us. That's not anything I have to fight. That's not anything that I have to deal with. And so Jesus narrows it down a little further, and he says, if your family is feuding with itself, if your family is fighting itself, then that family will fall apart. If there's infighting in your house, if there is challenge in your house, then that family is not going to be able to survive long term. Because here's a life truth. Odds create opposition. Creates opposition. We've all felt that opposition. Jesus is speaking to their religious family with a principle that holds true for our families as well. If our time is spent combating one another or competing with one another, then our house is divided and it will not survive. And then he focuses on strong men. He said, just picture this house, and if there's a strong man in the house, if that man is established correctly, if that man is standing in his strength, if that man is recognizing his authority, then someone else cannot come into that house and plunder his goods. Why? Because there's a strong man in the house. The only one who could come in and overtake the strong man is someone who is stronger than the strong man. It's the only way that could work. It's got to be something stronger, and you don't want that. And so it tells me that men in this day have to be strong men. And there's probably some disagreement with how the word strong is defined. Some of you have dealt with strong men, and it's made you run. It's made you go. It's made you leave. It's made you not want to be a part of that. I realize there are people that use their strength in improper ways, incorrect ways, immoral ways, all of those things. But again, I've not come to preach to the exception today. I've come to preach to what God has called and said and has destined and designed for every man in this house. And honestly, today I am saddened by what I see happening to men in this nation. I just have to say it, whether it's gender bending or whether it is toxic masculinity or whether it's hashtag Me Too or whatever it is, men are afraid to be who God has called them to be. Afraid it's going to offend someone. Afraid it's going to upset someone, because everyone is offended and there is an attack on maleness. I'm not saying there have not been some bad apples. I'm not saying that there haven't been some real jerks in the news. I'm not saying that there haven't been some real characters that it's hard to get behind or support. All of that is true. But again, I'm not talking to the exception today, and I've not come to preach to the one negative. I've come to talk to men today and who God has called us to be and what God has called us to do. And hear me, the attack that is happening on men today is not unlike the attack that happened in Moses' day, when all of the newborn males were being killed. Or the attack in Jesus' day when all males 2 years and under were being murdered. And you're going to tell me that abortion is about women's rights. I don't believe that. You say, Pastor Darrell, you're being political. No, I'm never political in the pulpit. This is not a political statement for me, nor a political conviction for me. This is a moral conviction. It's a moral conviction. And I realize that in a crowd this size, the percentages are that there are people who have made that choice, and I'm not judging you. I want to put my arms around you and love you through that and see you whole and healed from that. And this is not going to be a place where anybody's going to talk down to you or ostracize you for your choice. No, 1,000 times. No, this is a house of mercy. But I want you to hear me. Since 1973, it is estimated that nearly 60 million kids have been aborted. How many of those are males? How many of those are leaders? How many of those should have been good fathers? How many of those should have been strong men? Hear me loud and clear. There is an attack on men in this nation. And Jesus said the only one who can take over a strong man's house is someone who is stronger. So I've risen to tell you that this is no time for weakness. I'm not saying it's a time for bravado. I'm not saying it's a time for machismo. I'm not saying it's a time for you to push your weight around or for you to walk in a room and just demand everyone to get out of your way. No, it's a time for men to rise up to be who God has called them to be. Do I have any men that understand what I'm talking about today? I know I've got some women in this room that are saying, yeah, that's what I want for my man. That's what I want for the man in my house. I want him to be who God has called him to be. So let's define strong men a little bit today. I'm gonna give you three areas that I think men it sort of defines a male's strength, if you will. And there's a lot more that I could have put into this message, but I'm telling you, I really heard these so strong in my spirit and wrote them down just exactly the way I feel like the Lord gave them to me. But let me talk to you about three areas. The first area that I think defines a strong man is his castle. His castle. Remember, we're talking about two addresses. We're talking about your house and we're talking about our house. But hear me, a man loves his home. He loves his castle. A man loves the place where he lives. His space, it's possible that it's been reduced down to a cave or even a closet or an unair-conditioned shed out in the back. But whatever it is that you've given him permission to rule over, he loves it with all of his heart. A man loves his castle. I remember my mom, my father left when I was about 5 years old, and she spent the next 12 or 13 years a single mom raising three kids. I have a brother that's 7 years older than me, a sister that's 5 years older than me, and then I was the baby of of the family. But I remember my mom, finally putting together, some work. We never had money per se at all, but she was, we were putting food on the table, and we were making it. And I remember my mom doing just a little updating in the house, and just doing a little fixing up, and maybe getting some new pillows on the couches. And I remember the bathroom that my brother and I shared. It was also the guest bathroom for the house. If anyone came over to visit, if anyone stopped by, that would be the restroom that we would show them if they needed the facilities. But that was the restroom that my brother and I used to get ready to shower and all of that good stuff. I learned to shave in that bathroom, all of that. But my mother put a floral wallpaper all over the walls, and it was mauve, pinks, and the hand towel that was beside the sink, it was some shade of mauve, and she had little canisters of potpourri. I remember my brother coming in the first time, and there was that potpourri, and he thought it was candy, and he reached in and popped one of those in his mouth and found out that it wasn't candy at all. But I remember the first time that my grandmother saw the finished bathroom, when she saw the work completed. She was kind of a no-nonsense, tell-it-like-it-is kind of woman, hilarious. And she looked at my brother and I, and she said, "Aren't y'all going to get constipated in there?" Why? Because our bathroom did not look male. It did not look man. It did not fit the bill. But listen, a man loves his castle. And a man, he likes for his castle to be clean. Some of you may be married. You may live with one of these picky individuals. But I promise you, it's not as much about it being clean as it is about order. Because when a man says he wants something to be clean, he's saying, "I want there to be order. I'm looking for order in my castle." That's why a man will go clean a garage that doesn't need to be cleaned. It's about order. He wants things in their place because men crave order. Yours may be messy, but I promise you, I guarantee you, he doesn't like it. If he is, he doesn't like that about himself, because men shrink in chaos. Men get small in chaos. They do not like things out of order in their lives. And that's not speaking to the women that we live with. I'm talking about something within ourselves. We like for things to be right. I remember just a little kid. Like I said, I was about five and a half years old when my father left and my parents ultimately divorced. But even younger than that, my father was a stickler about our yard. But he couldn't afford an edger. You know, back in the day, now everything's done with weed eaters. But back in the day, you had a separate piece of machinery. And I don't think we even had weed eaters in that time. But you would walk behind it, and there were kind of looked like a little three-wheel prong thing. And on this side would be an edger, and that blade would flip up and down. But you would turn it and set it where you wanted it to go, and you could go along your driveway or out along the curb, and you could edge the yard. We couldn't afford one of those. And so my father would edge the yard with a butcher knife. On hands and knees, he would go down the row, and that thing would be perfectly straight. I remember this as vividly at 5 years old as anything in my memory bank, because what was interesting about that is when my father left, there wasn't anything to celebrate about my father. To this day, I've been alive longer than he lived. He passed away at 42. I'm 46 years old, but there wasn't much to celebrate about his life. He did not make a lot of good choices, but even when my father left and my brother kind of became the man of the house, if you will, and would put me out there in the yard for the next number of years, that it was our responsibility, even after we ultimately got an edger or the weed eater came along and we were out there, it didn't matter. Everything was going to be perfectly straight, because something had been instilled into us Something had been put into us to appreciate a straight line. Maybe, Tony, if you're in the building, you're understanding a little bit of why I'm always talking about this yard around here. Well, I was out here for a few hours yesterday blowing off debris and stuff, trying to get around. I wanted to look good for fathers coming into the building today. What is it? A man craves order. Let me ask you this. What about this castle? I know what you want in your castle. What about this castle? What about this house? I need men to care about our church and its appearance. I'm calling men to rise up. We had an incredible work day back in April, and it was awesome. But guess what? The weeds are taking us over again. I don't want to wait until next April. I don't want to wait until 2020, just before Easter, or just when spring is about to roll around for us to clean up again. What needs to happen? Men need to say, listen, I got two addresses that I'm responsible for. I've got that home that I come back to every day, and then I've got that home that I worship in, and I don't want my house of worship to be looking like it's broke down or that it needs some TLC. I want to be a part. I want to lend my hand. I want to lend my strength. I want to lend my time. I want to lend my time to making sure that the house of God looks its very best, because the reality is it is too much for one man to do. It's too much for one person to do. I know we're busier than we've ever been. I know we have more going on than we've ever had going on. And I'm not suggesting you stop doing anything that you're doing that is filling up your calendar or your space and your time. But I am asking you to make God's house a priority and invest yourself into this spiritual castle. You know why? Because excellence honors God. And when a man feels good about his castle, then he carries himself differently. He walks differently. He has a pride, which is a good thing. Pride gets all this negative press, and oh no, you can't have pride. The Bible talks about pride. Listen, there is pride that is good. You need to have a little personal pride about you. If you're single and you're going on a date, have a little pride. Take a bath. Put on some good clothes. Heard about a, you know, ministry associate in my world whose wife left him, and people were reaching out. What's going on? You know, he said, I don't know. She's mad. He said, I. Sometimes I go days without taking a bath and days without brushing my teeth. And he said, I don't know, I just forget. And I thought, man, I'd help her pack. That's not right. You got to have a little pride. Not all pride is bad. Some pride is good. Excellence honors God. And we have so many DIY projects. We have so many men that are faithful and just come and give time. It's amazing how busy this place is all throughout the week with people stopping in and seeing what needs to be done. There's so much to do, and yet in this season, so little budget, and so many things we have to resource and source and find ways to do it, on the cheap, and how we get it done. We're painting one wall at a time. I live so long in a mauve bathroom that I'm trying to get rid of the mauve in this building. It's dated. Time for it to spruce up. It's time for it to be fixed up. You don't just leave things forever and forever and forever. You clean things up. You fix things up. Why? Because a man is all about his castle. Next, a man's strength is defined by his concern. His concern. Let me just say this. Women are not the only ones with discernment. Believe it or not, men have discernment as well. He may not be as vocal about it. Probably not going to be as much emotion involved with his concern. And there's a small chance, just a small chance, that he will not want to talk about it for hours and hours and hours and hours. But he is concerned. He may express his concern differently than his female counterpart. But hear me. Hear me, ladies that are eavesdropping today, trying to understand that man in your house better. A man needs to be heard. His head and his heart. Well, I'm trying to get him to talk. A man needs to be heard. He may communicate differently than you do. 93% of communication is nonverbal. His grunt means something. It may sound like a foreign language to you, but he is communicating something. We got to learn what one another mean. Men are fixers. If you present a problem to them, their brain automatically, they can't shut this off. It's just how men are wired. They can't turn that off. Men immediately start searching for the answer. They start trying to find a way to resolve the problem. You finally got their attention and just start telling them about this thing that's going on at work, and next thing you know, he's loading his gun. Or he's got a pad of paper and he's writing. You're like, no, I just need you to listen to me. But what? It's hard for men just to listen, because he goes into action. He immediately starts wanting to do something about whatever it is that is bothering you, because men do have concerns, things that they are trying to figure out. And the reality is, I'm going to shock you today, and men, you may find yourself shocked, but we as men, we do not always have the answer. I waited until Kristen was in church kids to say that. But men, we don't always have the answer. Sometimes a man needs time to think on it. I say this all the time. Kristen will send a text to me and an answer to her question, and I won't respond right away, and then she'll hit it with a question mark, and then she'll say hello with a question mark, and then it's hello with 10 question marks, and I need time to think on this. Why? Because my brain is searching, it's searching, it's searching. Have you ever asked your computer to do something that was difficult and that wheel started turning? That status wheel, it started turning, and sometimes it'll turn so much that you'll think something's wrong with it, and you'll start doing hard resets and pushing buttons and holding power switches down and start trying to force it to do something. And many of you are frustrated with the man that you live with because you are trying to force him to have an answer that he doesn't have yet, and so his wheel is turning, his brain is turning, he's trying to find a solution to the problem. We got something in our world right now that I literally had to say, Kristen, I don't need you to remind me about that one more time. I know. I wake up in the morning with that on my mind. I go to bed with it on my mind. I know. I don't need you to tell me what's going on. I'm thinking. I'm trying to find a solution to that problem. Men need time to think. And if you give them time to think, eventually all of these things are going to work together, and they're going to find a way to fix the problem. But men, let me, is this all right today? Is this all right? Just hold on, men. I'm full today. I need to unpack and give it all. I just need a few more moments. Let me remind you of a couple of things that are good for you to be concerned with, men. Maybe a reminder on this Father's Day, and I don't beat men up on Father's Day. I don't beat men up ever, because I think men ought to be celebrated and honored, and I think you're going to get much more out of your man by celebrating him than you are berating him. And so I thank God for every man in this house. But let me remind you a couple of things that I think are important to be concerned about. I think it's important to be concerned about your wife, men. Ladies, I don't need you to clap or amen, but just look straight ahead at me. Don't look at him like, hello. But I think it's good, men, for you to be concerned with your wife. Stop taking her and all she does for granted. Work on your relationship. What do you mean? I work every day. I let her remember that stuff. When she tells me it's her birthday, well, then we celebrate her birthday. When she tells me it's our anniversary, well, then I go take a bath and it's our anniversary. No, no, no. Work on it. Work on it. Work on remembering. Work on investing yourself. Buckle your seatbelt. Don't just crave her body. Crave her mind as well. Too much for y'all, huh? Because I got more. Be concerned with your kids. Be concerned with your kids. My girl, Elle, I put her on a plane on Wednesday flying to Houston. I took her to the Atlanta airport. Her flight was at 6:15 in the morning. No, Dad, let me fly later in the day. No, that flight later in the day is $200. This flight is $85. You going early. Getting an economics lesson. This is fantastic, all the things I'm getting to teach you today. But got her all the way to the gate, got her onto the plane and all of that, and then her grandfather was waiting on the other end of that flight, and she's going to be gone for a month. She's working hard and doing some great things for Jesus, interning at a camp, and I'm super proud of her. But while she is away from me, while she is 830, 40, 50 miles from me right now, a part of my heart is detached from me, and so it's constantly on my mind. I'm calling her. I'm texting her more than I normally do because I'm trying to check on her. Hear me, men. Don't assume that your kids will turn out like you just because they're yours. There's so many other voices. There's so many other influences. There's so many other things contributing to who they are becoming. Don't just assume because you played in the dirt that they're going to go play in the dirt and everything is just going to be normal like it was for you. It is a different world that they're growing up in. The boys your daughters will date, let me go ahead and scare you to death, Jason Driggers. They've had one of these, a smartphone in their hand, for years. This phone will pull up any porn site. It'll pull up anything. That's what they've had access to their whole lives. The age of innocence is gone. So you can't just assume. You got to communicate. And you can't leave it to your wife to have all of the uncomfortable conversations. Your kids need to hear from you. Man. Men without wife or kids, let me encourage you to don't get saddled with debt. Don't get saddled with living life fast and furious right now and then one day when all of that comes, because hear me, you got to be smart now because later comes way too fast. Comes way too fast. And then men, let me say this to you. Be concerned about you. You, me? I always put myself last. No. Be concerned about you, your health, your finances, your trade, who you are. Let me challenge you. Learn something new or discover a new hobby. It's okay to like yourself, dude. It's okay to look in the mirror and be proud of who you are. You've got enough people beating you up, enough people talking down to you. The last thing that you need is for you to look in the mirror and you to speak negatively to yourself as well. It's all right to look in the mirror and say, no, I don't have as much money saved as I want to have saved. I don't have everything going on. I'm not sure if the oil's been changed or not. I don't know, but you know what? I'm all right. And it's okay to give myself a break. It's okay to reach and pat myself on the back. It's all right to say, hey, I'm proud of you. Do I have more I want to accomplish? Do I have more I want to do? Do I have more that I need to do? Absolutely. But it's all right on this Sunday, Father's Day, to look in the mirror and say, hey, you're a good man. Hear me. Hear me. If you've got a man you love in your life, hear me. Men crave respect. Listen, they deserve it for something. They may not deserve it for everything. Not every action, not every way, not every temper, not every idea may be respectable. But they crave respect. And if you can find one thing that you can respect them for, if you will acknowledge it and tell them and show them that respect, if you'll feed it, then I promise you it will produce more. It'll produce more. Find the one thing and feed it. Because whatever is rewarded is repeated. Oh no, I'm gonna wait till he gets, you know, that top 10 list. I'm gonna let him get that down. Well, how's he doing with 1, 2, and 3? Celebrate 1, 2, and 3. And when men get rewarded, it makes them really passionate about making sure that 4, 5, and 6. And let me tell you the third thing that defines a man: his strength. It's his consecration. His consecration. Listen, for all that's said of men, for every exception to this rule, I'll tell you something about a man. He is loyal. And believe it or not, he wants to be faithful. Wants to be faithful in every area of his life. You're saying, wait a minute, nope. I know that one. Hold on. I'm talking to who he is on the inside. Maybe he's made mistakes. Maybe he's fumbled the ball. Maybe he's tripped his own self up. But a man is defined by his consecration. I worry about men that they will live down to the popular expectations of society. Well, they say men cheat, so let's cheat. Or they say all men do blank, so let's do blank. Or how about this one? Boys will be boys. How much mess has been thrown under that reasoning or excuse? I say no. Jesus said the only thing that can take over a strong man's house is someone stronger. So, sir, man, father, dad, gentlemen, you have to be strong in the right areas, in the things that are important to you. Then your house and your family will be blessed. Because men are loyal. There's a reason that men thrive in the military. There's a reason that men do so well in positions where there is a strong leader. It's because men know how to take direction, except when they're on vacation. Except when it's a box from IKEA. He just wants to figure it out. Just let his wheel turn. Just leave the room. Come back in a couple of hours. And if it's not sitting there straight and looking like the picture on the box, then you've got every reason to make fun of him. But if you just give him time to sort it out, it's therapeutic for him. A Men understand that in order to lead, I need to be led. And so while I want you to be committed to your family, men, while I want you to be committed to your marriage, I want you to understand that all of those things that are important, that matter so much, all of it hinges on your commitment to God. So let me ask you today, sir, how's that going? How's it going? How are you doing when it comes to your consecration to God? I want it to be strong. It doesn't mean it has to be as emotional as other people or as expressive as other people. And while taking nothing away from the incredible ladies of the church, we respect you, we love you, we value you. But hear me. I would love for our men to lead the way in worship, in prayer, in serving, and in generosity. I'm not even going to qualify. I don't need to qualify that. You know what I mean. I'm not taking anything away from ladies. We have strong ladies, but this is not Mother's Day. Is that all right? Men to lead. Why? Because these two addresses mean everything to me. Why don't you stand with me across the room? Men, would you do me a favor today as we close? I wonder if I